Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the newsroom to the nursery,
we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are Anchor Moms.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of Anchor Moms. Glad you're with us on this, whatever day you're listening here. It's a Wednesday. Wednesday morning. We made it halfway to the weekend. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hey, Karen. I'm great.
So, Katie, I texted you and another friend this question earlier in the week. But
what was it?
For all of the young people out there, I think this goes to them. What is the protocol when it comes to DMs on Instagram?
Oh, because you text me a lot. We text a lot.
Okay, here's my question just to fill in the listeners. If someone, perhaps a guy, now as a caveat, Katie and I, all of our accounts, well, our main accounts are public, right? Because we're on the news. It's part of our job to post on social media. So these accounts are public. They want us to have as many followers as possible to engage with these folks on social media. So a gentleman DM'd me, messaged me, whatever you call it, on Instagram.
I'm going to look back at your text.
I don't think he's a creepy person at all. Well, I don't know. But anyway, my question is that equal to texting now? Or is that still like we're just communicating on social media? We're not really friends. I feel like it's getting blurry.
It is. And also, right? I do feel like,
what are the rules here, folks? What are the rules?
When you texted me and I was like, you know, send me screenshots, like pictures or it didn't happen. So you sent me screenshots of this dude of like some of the things. I don't know what's going on here, but it does not totally feel like that it's completely benign on his part, of course. Okay. It's just very strange.
I guess, yes. And I guess this particular situation aside, though, I mean, he was in, just so you're not like, whoa, what was he messaging Karen here? Nothing crazy. Just responding to my whatever parenting post that I always post and saying things, you know, oh, yeah, agreed. Ha ha. Like, you know, normal things that you would respond to stories or whatnot. But it just made me think about kind of where is the line here? You know, like, is this getting to the point where he thinks we're friends and I should stop responding to him in these messages? Or is this a total, hey, this is social media and everything's public and, like, you know, it's fine?
Yeah, it's a blurry line. So I'm just looking at some of the screenshots that you sent me. You had, yes, reposted, like, something about, like, the rules of literally every game my kids make up to play together. Like, you know.
Just like a meme.
Just funny. Yeah. And he wrote, so true. And be in the middle of it all instead of their spaces. Like, laugh face. And you wrote, ha ha, yes. Then a new one. A.K.A. parents' bed. What's up with that? Go wrestle in your own. Like, he kind of continued the conversation.
And then I just stopped.
I think I would. Mostly because I don't know. I'm kind of... I don't like to encourage. Listen, right. I know that we're, let me put this in quotations, like public figures, but I don't want to encourage any sort of conversations really with, like, I don't care if you're like a chick or a dude on social media through a DM, because I just feel like it's a very fuzzy gray line. Like, I don't know you, and I don't want you to presume.
So do you think if he was putting this in the comments?
Yes.
It's better?
Yes.
Okay.
A DM feels shade to me. Feels shady.
Okay.
You, what do you, I mean, the fact.
No, I'm bringing it up because I'm like, I just raised the point that, and again, I feel like if you are not in local TV news, you're probably like, what? Just send it to private. And right. like, who cares? But because of our jobs, it just is. And again, social media is a very big part of our jobs, unfortunately. So it just is, you know, you don't want to do something that's like, oh, he's going to make some comment and like a bunch of people are going to unfollow me or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a gray area, I feel like.
Also, I do not like this picture of
okay,
him.
Well, now Katie's going through this guy's Instagram.
I'm sorry. I wish we could say more because I don't want him to be like listening to this and be
maybe
offended.
He's a listener. We don't know.
But I am not feeling these pictures. And Karen also wrote in this text chain, you just noticed that we have a mutual friend.
Yes.
But really kind of an acquaintance friend.
Really, yes.
Really
actually,
on the fringes.
I found it. There's like actually multiple. Oh, but yes, okay. Yeah, yeah. Multiple people that we know in Asheville, but we're not like really friends with.
Yeah. And you say, and there are zero pictures of a wife. Yeah. Hmm. Does he have a wife?
I have no idea. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah, this is a no for me. No, this is a no for me.
So do you just not respond to the DMs?
I don't respond. Yeah. I know, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a very yes person. I'm like a
you are.
If someone says something to me, I just feel like it's my duty to respond. Which is probably why I responded to this guy. I don't know. I just think the real thing I was kind of wanting to talk about was it is our DMs, and if it's not typed in a public space where everyone can see,
yes.
Is it now a text message equivalent? And is it something that's like I mean, of course, I'm not trying to do anything shady, but like, would others see that as shady?
Have you ever heard that phrase like slid into your DMs?
No.
What?
No.
No? All mm-hmm. right. So that's what's happening here. Like, slid into your DMs is like, you know, direct messaged you, and now, like, here we are having some sort of relationship. That's like the PC version of it. I think that's what's happening here, my friend.
Okay. Well, obviously, I'm not going to talk to him again. But it just raised the bigger issue.
Karen.
Katie wants to, like, really hone in on this guy, and I'm like, I just want to speak in general terms about what the protocol is these days with these young folks, because I feel like young people don't even really text. They just DM in my head. I don't know.
You're probably right.
Right?
I would like to sensationalize this as much as
Katie's like,
as
actually, let's
possible.
Go the other direction.
Let's really dig deep here. Yeah, I mean, no, my answer is like, you know, obviously you haven't done anything wrong and he hasn't either, but I just don't encourage, no. I just assume anybody who's in my DMs, unless I like know you,
know
is a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I thought, I don't know.
And I guess that's the same for like a Facebook message.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
1,000%. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
See, I think it's just weird for me because I Facebook message with a lot of people for work. You know, so it just gets to where it's like kind of fuzzy because I'm like, I'm talking with a lot of people here trying to get stories and, you know.
Yeah. Say more, though, because I think if you're not a reporter, that's like surprising. Like, what are you doing in people's like direct messages?
Yeah.
For work purposes?
I mean, I'll like try to find somebody on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And if I can't find them elsewhere, you know, I'll message them. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of conversations with a lot of people trying to get stories and get information and find people. Yeah. I think that's a big part of a lot of reporters' jobs. In fact, big news, I am now on TikTok. Do you know why?
Say more about that.
Because this person who I was trying to contact for a story, I could only find her through TikTok.
Mm.
So I created a TikTok account just to message her, and she messaged me back, and I interviewed her for the story. So all is well that ends well.
You know, I think, thankfully, because that's, like, starting to get a little creepo there. Like, you created a TikTok account just to, like, message someone.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you're a reporter.
And I told her, I was like, just so you know, you made me get on TikTok.
She was like, okay.
She was like, weird. Yeah. She.
Well, it worked.
Very nice.
It worked. And that's why these people are sliding into your DMs, because they're hoping that works as well, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, maybe I should
wink,
not.
Wink.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, keep us posted on that.
I do think the, like, whatever, the field has changed in terms of how we communicate with people, right? Ooh. Or is it just because I'm a reporter and I like have to have everything open to everybody?
No, I'm telling you, this is like a universal thing. People listening right now are like, starting to get a little fuzzy there. Like the one message, okay, but then the fact that he continues the conversation, like, where is this going here? Where is this going on Instagram, sir?
I mean, I don't know.
Also, I don't like your picture, sir. Is that his, like, is that his profile picture?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know what his profile picture is.
Well, what was that picture? Like, did he send you that picture?
No. Oh, you said I want to see a picture of him. So I, like, clicked on a random picture.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, we'll dig into that a little bit later. Our first article today comes from the New York Post, titled "Men Defending Taylor Swift from Tony Dungy's Disenchanting Comment is Peak Hashtag Girldad Culture." And really, I mean, we don't need this article to talk about, unless you live under a rock, you know that Taylor Swift has been the subject of lots of commentary, been featured in lots of social media posts, just because she obviously is dating Travis Kelce, the Chiefs, about to go to the Super Bowl here. And she's been featured prominently in a lot of NFL games, and some people are annoyed about it. So apparently Tony Dungy, Super Bowl winning player, coach, kind of, you know, big deal NFL guy, said this on Fox News. He said, "That's the thing that's disenchanting people with sports right now. There's so much on the outside coming in." He's referencing Taylor Swift. "Entertainment value and different things that is taking away from what really happens on the field." And this writer and a lot of folks are disagreeing, not because what he said is misogynistic, but because the league's collision with the world of entertainment had already been activated before Swift entered her NFL era. I agree with that. I mean, there's an HBO show in regards to the NFL. The NFL has, it's a big deal who's going to play the Super Bowl every year in terms of, like, who's going to do the halftime show. Like, isn't the NFL, doesn't it exist for entertainment purposes? The other thing that folks are saying is that the Taylor effect has helped them bond with their daughters. So their daughters are suddenly interested in watching NFL games because, you know, they might spot Taylor Swift, and it's sort of led to a bigger conversation about football, and it's really been a good bonding experience. Karen, thoughts here?
So I have no idea why anyone cares.
Oh, okay.
About Taylor Swift coming into the football world. Like, I can't believe people are critical of it. Like, all it's doing is increasing NFL ratings. Like, that's all it's doing, is getting more people, specifically girls, interested in football. I have no idea why people think this is a negative thing. I guess they, like, want control of their own, like, football thing, and they don't want a particular singer to, like, get in there.
A pop star to infiltrate.
I cannot see the negative here. I cannot see why this would be bad. I totally agree. I think it's a bonding thing for dads and girls. I think it's fun. I think it's, like, I just don't see any downside to this whole Taylor Swift entering the NFL world situation.
Yeah, I do think it does feel like a little bit, like, misogynistic as well. It's kind of like
if you have a problem with it, I don't understand you.
Yeah.
I don't understand you.
I saw somebody else saying, like, if you're a dad, you know, or just a dude in general, and you're mad that Taylor Swift is, like, getting some cutaways on, you know, like, NFL Sundays, like, basically you're sending the message that, like,
women shouldn't be
right. Yeah. Like, that they're, like, that we shouldn't, like, we can't hold space for Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. like, or for mm-hmm. women in general, because mm-hmm. it's just not, like, she's not important as some other things happening. I don't know. I don't like it. I think I also saw something that was like, people only want you, and I mean, this is like, in general, people like want you to be happy, but not that happy. And mm-hmm. so when they see, you know, obviously Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, like, hugging on the field and sending each other, like, you know, like, make, you know, talking to each other from the field to the stands, like, it kind of annoys them that two people could be, like, not only are you going to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. not only are you, like, the biggest pop star alive, like, you're also romantically happy. And that's just...
Which isn't fair.
No.
She's allowed to be happy.
No. Also, can I just say this? I mean, yay, Travis Kelce, I guess, if that's your thing. But, like, Taylor Swift is a star in her own... I mean, arguably, or maybe not even arguably, a bigger star than Travis Kelce.
And yes, has been. For sure.
Has always been. Mm-hmm. You know?
I guess my... Yes, of course. And I guess my other thing is, I guess I don't understand if... If you're a guy watching football and there's a cutaway of a kid in the stands or a football player's mom, like, I don't understand why it's that much worse that the cutaway is of Taylor Swift. I just don't know. Like, if I'm a person watching a football game, what do I care who they show in the cutaway for 5 seconds in the entire game?
Well, again, to me, the NFL, that's the purpose, is to entertain, right? I mean, like, we're not, like, solving the world's problems with the NFL. No. Like, it's not, we're not.
And if there was some other celebrity at the game, they would show them.
Correct. So, I mean, if the point is to entertain and engage people in the drama on the field, who is in the stands, who is just as invested as you sitting at home on your couch, is part of the drama, right? That's part of, like, the entertainment. So, I mean, Taylor Swift is all part of that. And I can promise you, the NFL, they ain't sad about Taylor Swift at all, because this has been a great boom for them.
Exactly. I'm surprised they haven't, like, marketed it more.
I think they have. If you follow the NFL on Instagram, like, they have straight up references to Taylor Swift. Love this, of course.
Yeah.
I think it's these, like, Chads and Dads and Brads, who I think Taylor, like, referenced, who are like, you know, the NFL is mine. Like, what a, like, we, you know, we can't. Yeah. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
The NFL is sketchy enough. They need someone like Taylor to.
You do you, Taylor. You do your thing and you bust into that
this
NFL.
This is another one of those moments where I'm sure Taylor Swift is
listening.
Mm-hmm.
What if she came on the show? How nervous would you be?
I mean, I wouldn't hold your breath.
To interview Taylor Swift.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Would you be nervous to
interview
Taylor Swift?
I might slide into her DMs and send her an invite.
I would be nervous to interview Taylor Swift. Although, actually, I think she's one of those people that you wouldn't be nervous around.
She's very relatable.
Yes, yes. Like, I'd be nervous to interview some people who are famous, but I don't think she'd be one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's her appeal, by the way. That is the appeal of Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need a mums?
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Sure, throw me a mums.
So this is another shrimp taco recipe, I think.
Remind folks, this is something that we want to share to everybody that we think is kind of a little fun secret that can help them in some way.
Mums, the word, we call it. So I love a good shrimp taco recipe, and I realized just a couple of weeks ago I shared previously. This is another one. You know what? I like shrimp.
Wait, another shrimp taco?
Another one. Yeah.
Katie.
Yeah. I love them.
Wow. Okay.
The other thing is shrimp tacos are something that all of us in our house eat, right? Like, I'm a pescatarian, so I don't eat meat. So I can eat shrimp tacos. Brian can eat shrimp tacos. And River, believe it or not, like, she's not a fan of hamburgers. Not a fan of, like, a lot of, like, protein sources.
She eats chicken.
Yes. And that's it. It's, like, chicken and carbs. Those are basically her two food groups. But she does eat shrimp. She will eat shrimp. So this is, you know, shrimp is a popular ingredient in our house. So this one doesn't take very long. It's shrimp tacos with avocado salsa and sour cream cilantro. Literally, it takes 30 minutes to make. You got to marinate the shrimp, and even that, you can just marinate them for 10 minutes if you want. But what's good about it, the salsa is the best part. It has, like, jalapenos and tomatoes.
Does River eat the jalapeno
salsa? I de-seed them, right? That kind of takes the heat out of them. So jalapenos, tomatoes. I just made this last night. Avocado, some cilantro, some lime juice. I put the shrimp in the cast iron skillet to make it real crunchy. Mm-hmm. Put this salsa on top of it, and the sour cream you mix with, like, some cilantro and lime juice, and you're done. And it's so tasty.
I love it.
Yeah. So I'll give you the recipe. It's on...
I've already done my meal plan for this week, but I can slide it in for next week.
Yes. Yes. I want to tell you what it's on. It's on gimmedelicious.com, but we'll link it in the show notes. It's super delicious, and it's actually... it's pretty healthy as well, right? There's not a lot of... I mean, there's a tortilla if you choose to, which is has the carbs, but other than that, it's...
good stuff.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
I love it. All right. Our next article is from CNN Business. The crisis at Kite Baby might not have happened if the U.S. had a mandated paid leave policy for new parents. Now, I had heard a little bit about this, but hadn't really dug in.
Can you tell us about it? Tell folks about the... Oh, do you want me to...
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, because I just am not sure, as I was reading this article, I mean, I know about it, but that's because I, like, live and breathe social media and news 24/7, whether I like it or not. The gist of this Kite Baby controversy, if you don't know about it, Kite Baby is a children baby clothing line. An employee had a daughter through adoption that was in the NICU and had asked the CEO of Kite Baby to work remotely while this newborn was in the NICU. And the CEO responded back to her and said, no, you can't work remotely. You know, we're going to have to, you can keep, your job will be here when you get back, but otherwise, like, you know, you're terminated. Like, your job is done because that's not going to work. So the employee basically made it public that this is what this Kite Baby CEO said. And again, they, you know, they are a baby clothing line. So you think, like, this would be something that they would be all over is allowing new moms to have that period, especially in the NICU. So anyway, now proceed with the article.
Yeah, so that's the backstory. And so this article is talking about how that whole drama may not have happened if the U.S. had mandated paid maternity leave, parental leave. So, you know, which we all know is ridiculous that we don't have this.
It is.
And, well, I guess some people might not agree with that statement, but Katie and I sure do.
Well, who are you?
Yeah. You're probably not listening.
You're probably not listening to this episode. Yeah.
But anyway, so I didn't realize. So anyway, it goes into a lot of statistics and information about this. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, there are 38 members. The U.S. is the only one in that group without national paid leave. Within that group, the paid leave can vary from 18 weeks to 43 weeks in Greece. What?
Wild.
So I do think that sometimes people get a little bit confused on this. We do have FMLA, which means in the U.S., your company has to hold your job for 3 months, for 12 weeks, but they do not have to pay you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the sticking point here is that we are the only country that doesn't have any federally paid mandated leave. Now, some states, I think there's, I don't know, 7 or 8 states who do have some state mandated paid parental leave, but obviously not a lot of them. In the U.S., the average, guess, or did you read it? In the article.
Tell me. No.
7 weeks is the average amount of paid parental leave that people get.
And I think
that's just like if you're lucky and work for a company that offers it.
And sometimes that's not even full pay, we should say. Right, like sometimes it's a percentage. Mm-hmm. Frequently, I do believe it's a percentage of your pay. And even that, I mean, if you presumably, if you're listening to this, you have had a baby or are going to have a baby. 12 weeks just isn't even, like, that's not enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget about paid, unpaid. Even just the 12 weeks is not enough time.
I know. We need 2 things to happen. We need more leave opportunities and we need
to
be paid.
It's a two-prong issue there. Yeah.
But I do think they're right. This whole, and anyway, so then we should say, too, as an update, the CEO of Kite Baby has now come out, apologized.
Twice,
multiple times. And said we should have handled this better. And, you know, I do think, you know, I think their point is, look, we said we would keep her job. You know, it's not like we straight up fired her and we said, oh, my gosh, get out of here. They wanted her to come back. They just said because you weren't wanting to work remote and this position isn't a remote job, you know, we can't have you working right now, which, of course, is what she needed because she needs to pay these NICU bills.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So this article, the CNN article talks about, you know, so a lot of obviously this was very detrimental to Kite Baby. Women were on social media, like, burning their Kite Baby products, like throwing them out the window.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people are mad. This is a subject I think a lot of moms are super passionate about. And so this article talks about sort of how employers are kind of trying, or, you know, kind of catching wind that they need to have some flexibility before they get some bad press, like Kite Baby. And it says, one trend that workplace experts expect to see in 2024 is more employers coming up with different ways to provide equity in their workplace policies. So employees whose jobs are not remote friendly can enjoy more flexibility on par with that of other desk-based colleagues. And that might be providing them with four-day work weeks or more flexibility in scheduling their hours. So people are acknowledging, I mean, and it might be one of those things, and this would be great. Maternity leave aside, companies are sort of waking up to the fact that people want flexibility in their lives, especially when you have a family.
Right.
It is hard. It mm-hmm. is hard. So I, for one, would love this. And I do think, obviously, if there were federally mandated maternity leave policies, Kite Baby would not be in the position in which they find themselves. So.
Right. And I think it's just, I think you're right, Katie. I think to just anything companies can do to give some sense of, we're here to help figure this out together, right? Like, not just, hey, you got to clock in and clock out at these times and that's it. You know, you've got a baby. We understand that. What can we do? Even if we can't offer you to work remotely, what can we do to make your life easier? Is it these hours? Is it one day off a week? Is it more vacation? You know, whatever it is. I think that mothers would just, myself included, just want a company who says, I get it.
Yeah.
I get that you're raising kids. This is tough. How we value you. How can we work together to figure out something that's going to work for you as an employee and you as an employer?
Yeah. I also think this article just illustrates that women are fed up with these maternity leaves, or these mm-hmm. companies who are not willing to be flexible,
right?
When you are having a family issue or when you are having a baby, like, we're just over it. When are we going to change? When are we going to see this law on the books? We've been doing this podcast for what, 5 years? It literally comes up, I'll bet, once a month in one of these podcasts.
Probably close to it.
Yeah.
At least every couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to do the podcast.
Finally,
yes. Where they have passed some sort of federal law. So here's hoping.
Okay, one more article for the day from HuffPost.
This one's from HuffPost, and I love this. I was just talking to my sister about this yesterday. The title is, Has Little Treat Culture Gone Too Far? Therapists Have Thoughts. Little treat culture is the act of indulging in small and inexpensive pleasures, either as a reward for doing a task or sometimes just because. And I bring this up because my sister, a lot of you know, lives out in California, so there's a big time difference. And she called me while I was, like, cooking dinner last night, and she was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, on my way, like, you know, to work right now. And I'm, like, eating a chocolate, like, Reese's cup, and it's, like, really just, like, what I needed. Like, I know I shouldn't be eating it right now on a Tuesday afternoon, but it's, like, I just needed it. And I was like, oh, this is, like,
Small reward.
This is like the little treat culture thing that we're talking about tomorrow on the podcast. So this is mostly folks in their 20s to 40s who are doing this. And this article thinks that, you know, the writer writes that it might be a response to the pandemic. Celebrating small wins can be good, especially in a world where we focus on big outcomes. There's value in infusing your days with moments of simple pleasure. And, you know, I guess these small treats can be like,
get my nails done.
Get your nails done. Mm-hmm. Buy a, you know, a
milkshake.
A latte.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just to sort of make your day and the minutiae of your life mm-hmm. more bearable.
That was kind of fitting that my mind went to milkshake and your mind
went
to latte.
It's like basically breaks down like the whole Katie Karen dynamic.
Yes.
Right there.
Yep.
I like a milkshake and a latte.
I mean, same.
Yeah.
The article says the only bad thing is it could make you focus too much on short-term gratification. You know, you don't want to get to that point where you're like, oh, I drove into work. Let me eat a candy bar. Oh, I did one thing on my to-do list. Let me buy a new dress. Like, you know, it could get a little, you could take it
out of hand.
Far.
Yeah. You get a little out of hand.
Yeah. It's funny, on the way into work this morning on the radio, there was this commercial that came on that was like, have you done your errands? Have you checked off everything on your to-do list? Then you deserve a little treat. And I was like, wow, this is exactly this. And it was like, what flavor tasty cake would make you happy?
Like, do you like tasty cakes?
No.
But it might have been good in the car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then it went through all the flavors. And, like, by the end of it, you're like, well, yeah, that actually does sound pretty good. Like, I might get a little tasty cake later today. But, yes, I think there's this big push for let's not wait until we, you know, are at the brink of the end, on the edge of it all to treat ourselves. Let's like say, okay, what have we done today that maybe is good enough to get a little something something?
And there's this bumper sticker that a lot of people in Asheville have. I'm sure nationwide, but I see it a lot in Asheville, and it's like, don't postpone joy.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know how I say?
You do say that a lot.
Yes. And like, you know how I decorate for Christmas in October? It's because like, I really think there is something
Katie believes
to
in this. Mm-hmm.
Don't postpone joy. So like, dang it, if you want that Reese's peanut butter cup or that tasty cake, or that latte, like, you should do it now because you know what? Tomorrow's not promised, my friends. Mm-hmm. Like,
this is Katie's mantra.
Should I, like, trademark this?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm just telling you, like, you know, you got to, like, enjoy right now and, like, not assume that, like, you're going to have that joy or have that something to look forward to, you know, down the road, because down the road might never come.
This is dangerous only because we just got 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies in our house.
Oh my gosh.
And this is where my mind just went as you say that. I'm like, I should just eat a Girl Scout cookie when
you
I get
should.
Out today.
Have you been like waiting for a special moment to
no,
have your Girl
I've
Scout
I've been
cookie?
Trying not to eat too many of them. You know, like if we give one to the kids. But the other night they wanted 2 each.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. You know, they are kind of tiny.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I had 2, but Bennett, for some reason, thought I had 3. She's like, Mom, you're having a 3rd? I was like, no, this is my 2nd. I was like, but also, you know what? If I wanted 3, I could have 3, girl. And she's like, that's not fair. We only got 2. I said, yeah, I'm the mom.
Yeah,
I can
it.
Have as many cookies as I want.
I mean, you need to have at least 4, I would say.
1 per kid, at
exactly.
least.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. No, I like this. Like, I get it. Like, everything in moderation, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I still say, like, go ahead, have the little treat. You deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Which brings me to my win.
Oh.
Which we don't often have date nights, but Gregory and I got to go on a date night.
What?
Mm-hmm. We had a sitter. We went out. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. You know, honestly, and it was one of those days, of course, the kids had an early release day. I was kind of at the end of my rope.
Mm-hmm.
And the babysitter arrived and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. This is like exactly what we needed. Mm-hmm. I needed to like take a little break from the kiddos. And I always love that feeling when you first get in the Uber and you're just like, we can begin to talk uninterrupted.
Yes.
Let the uninterrupted conversation begin now. It was lovely. I just feel like whenever we have a date night, we talk so much because we're like, we never talk this much. Either, like, we've literally pretty much given up trying to talk to each other when the kids are home, mm-hmm. which is, you know, almost all the time.
Oh, like, they live with you, so
yeah,
it's, like,
yeah.
very
They're
unfortunate.
They're always there. Yeah. Funny. And at night, after they go to bed, we're trying to get the dishes done and the lunches made, and we're tired and, you know, all the things. So it just really feels like we don't often get much time to talk. So it was a great, lovely conversation. But the biggest win I wanted to bring up was how grateful we are to live in Asheville with so many great restaurants.
I know.
We went to Limone's. Mm. If you're familiar with Asheville, you'll know it. At least I think you would. It was so good. I mean, we have been talking about the food we ate there for days. Like, we keep bringing it up. Because we're like, oh, remember that meal at Limone's? It was so good. And it just made me realize we are so lucky. We're lucky, A, to be able to get a babysitter and go out for the night because, you know, that's a big deal. But also that we have so many options and choices for good places to go out.
When I was eating dinner in the Eiffel Tower last fall, I know, but this is
where
it goes. This is where it goes, and which was also delicious. But I just wanted to say there was a couple in there. We just got to talking to them. They knew Limones.
Oh,
they knew Limones
in France, yes, in Paris.
Yes,
Limones is being discussed.
It is. Yeah, it's a good spot. It's a good date spot. Mm-hmm. Delicious margaritas. I'm so glad you got to enjoy it.
It was so nice. And then, you know, it's funny, you think when, you know, oh, we've got at least like, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, plenty of time. And then like, just like that,
you got to get home.
You're like, oh, it's past 10.
Yeah.
I guess I need to get back.
Yeah.
Turn
into
sitter.
A pumpkin.
Yeah. Anyway, it was lovely. It was a lovely time, but it was also just a lovely reminder of how lucky we are to live it. I mean, I guess you have restaurants, obviously, wherever you live, but.
I know. Is this like an Asheville Chamber of Commerce commercial? Right?
What's happening? Visit Asheville.
Yeah.
No, but it is. We are very lucky, and I think we can forget it. But I think about, for instance, where I grew up and was raised. I mean, it was a fine town, but there's mostly chains.
Yeah. Same.
You know?
I mean, same.
So I think we should, you know.
Rejoice in Limones.
Mm-hmm. Don't postpone joy.
Don't postpone. You had a hard time even saying that.
Don't postpone joy. Go out to eat with your spouse whenever you'd like. All right. Have a great
after
week.
That, bye, guys. Anchor Moms is a Sinclair podcast produced out of WLOS in Asheville. We're your hosts, Katie Killen and Karen Zakalek. Anchor Moms is edited by Matthew Yates.
For more information on the topics discussed in this episode and to stay up to date on future episodes, follow us on Instagram at Anchor Moms.
You can follow Anchor Moms on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Know a parent who could benefit from this week's Anchor Moms episode? Your recommendations help our show to grow, so spread the word.